Qu'est-ce qui vous est arrivé?
Je suis paralysée du côté droit, c'est tout. Ça peut arriver avec l'âge.
Et comment?
Parlons d'autre chose, si vous le voulez bien.
Amour,
oui.
Do I really have to see it? The film that not only has love in the title, but has love as the title, in French for good measure. There are films you have to see. Your friends and neighbours are employed to alert you to their existence. You must see The Master, they will say. Sometimes the question is twisted into a negative form. You haven't seen what Richard did. Really? Really? Well, I don't want to spoil it for you. But the plaintiff, do I have to, in the case of Amour, is rather different. It stems from the fact that this film deals with a reality so grim and so everyday that seeing the poster is almost painful. The problem is, this auteur director is quite careful to make clear that this film is not about him, it's about you. Or more precisely, it's about all of us. Michael Haneke, that director, is something of a specialist in gruesome ends with a homely touch, at least in his films such as Benny's Video, about a boy who becomes so intrigued by the tool used on cattle at an abattoir, he brings it home. Or Funny Games, in which some frightfully nice boys invade a frightfully nice home and proceed to deal frightfully with the family who live there. The latter was remade as a shocker for the American market. Is laced with swan song Schubert, particularly pianist Alexandre Thoreau's readings of the Impromptus, which feature at various moments in the plot, and are particularly busy launching us into the story, for which we join the crowd at a piano recital in a pleasant bourgeois Paris salle. But rather than concentrate on the music, Haneke's camera is set up to stare hard and without movement at the audience, which it does while they assemble, greet each other, chat and finally settle, after a warning about flash photography and recording, ready for the pianist, who we never see, to begin. We, on the other hand, keep looking at a shot of the audience that fills the cinema screen, a fetish shot for a certain type of French filmmaker, and we keep looking at them in their variousness and indistinguishability until we've made friends with these people, got to know some faces in the crowd, seen their friends arrive, seen them look bored, expectant, confused. And then the music starts, and we just keep watching the audience like a great big mirror held up in front of us at the IFI. The director couldn't have said, "This is you," more clearly if he'd actually appeared on screen, pointed, and said, "This is you." In Amour, Haneke, Austria's oldest enfant terrible, offers us the story of a couple, a retired couple, with health problems. They're a chicly, octogenarian Parisian couple, she a retired teacher of piano, he a man unafraid to wear trainers with a suit, at least once he gets home. Georges and Anne's slow decline inevitably gathers speed in the 2 hours we spend locked in with them as they in turn are locked into their dour apartment. Like the prim couple in Funny Games, the invasion of ill fortune and outsiders without respect for them or their world is calamitous. In Amour, the home invasion by every darkness the world has to offer is all the more horrific for the plain commonness of its brand of bleak.
Tu veux que je te raconte une histoire? Mais tu dois rester tranquille parce que je peux pas parler trop fort. Ça me fatigue.
What is at work when Anne suffers a stroke and is forced to rely more and more on her husband and others is something that's not even slightly extraordinary. Not gothic, not a slasher fantasy, not a story of monsters. Instead, almost a soap opera, or it would be if soap operas didn't in reality routinely weave their stories from pantomime and bizarro force majeure. In any case, realism is a tricky word, the subject of ever-changing standards and sliding scales. So Amour gets around it by simply repeating in as many ways as possible the phrase, "That's you, that is." In the ordeal's key scene, a gruff nurse tries to force the almost paralysed Anne to look into a hand mirror at her new hair, which the same nurse has brutally brushed into a fright wig. The bedbound patient resists as best she can, which is not all that well, and we take it she catches some tiny glimpse of herself and her predicament, the image of what has happened to her and what awaits her as things get slowly worse, as her body becomes less fit for purpose and converts itself into a type of prison, or worse, a kind of bedlam into which the world peers. And through all this, we're never more than 6 feet away from a pigeon or a dose of Schubert. Schubert played by ghosts, guests, machines, and presumably it's well played by Alexandre Thoreau. But it's always a washed-out sound, flattened somehow by the decors in which it finds itself, its lyricism seemingly particularly impotent on this block. Because in Extremis, it seems to say, music, like love, is a poor operator. Like everything else, it's powerless to fight off, to deflect even, what is inevitable and hardly ever desirable. So no, if you're still wondering, in the end, you don't have to see Amour. Not because it isn't a film of singular power and exemplary finesse. It is that. No, you don't have to see it because chances are you'll live it. Play both parts, possibly. Perhaps, thankfully, never with as much gusto or daring. But sooner or later, we'll all win that starring role we were born to play. Surely that doesn't need a spoiler alert.